You're listening to the Apex Fantasy Football Podcast.
Hello, fellow fantasy football fanatics. My name is Asher Mulk, and I am proud to bring you the first Apex Fantasy Football Podcast. First, we'll do a little bit of an introduction and share our philosophy that we'll have here on the show. I'll introduce my co-hosts, and then we'll get into some players we think are really undervalued at their current average draft positions, and then do our first segment of something we here at Apex call Heads or Tails. I'm a co-founder and co-owner of Apex Fantasy Football Money Leagues. We'll go over our history in another podcast, along with our fearless leader, also co-founder and co-owner, and lucky enough to call my good friend Mike Brody, and our buddy Dalton Cates, a rising star here in the fantasy football industry. We here at Apex have hosted season-long leagues since 2013 and are now among the industry leaders in hosting season-long fantasy leagues with over 600 last year. We're hoping to eclipse over 1,000 this year. A little bit about us and what we bring to the show. Mike Brody, at Brody M, that's at B-R-A-U-D-E-M on Twitter, has risen in the ranks of the fantasy community for years now. Him and I started writing on Razzball and then the Fake Football, but Mike has gone on to contribute a lot to RotoViz over the years. He and I bring a unique perspective in that we have seen thousands of PPR drafts over the years, commissioned thousands of fantasy leagues. Mike won't toot in his own horn, so I will toot it for him. He has had multiple regular season first place finishes in a league that we host called the Apex Expert Riders League. This is where we invite people like Evan Silva, Sean Siegel, Mike Clay, the biggest names in the fantasy industry, to compete against each other in their very own Apex League. And Mike has not only finished first place in the regular season multiple times, but he's actually won the league in the playoffs. He is not without a major ethos when it comes to fantasy football. Mike.
I'm excited just to do this, to be mentioned in the name of those great, great fantasy analysts. And I'm excited to share some knowledge and talk about some football.
Awesome. Dalton, at Dalton Guru FF on Twitter, give him a follow. He has blown us away with his intricate analytics-based articles and actionable advice over the past year or so, so much so that we thought him to be a very important enough member of Apex and to be a full-time co-host on our podcast, as well as writing fantastic content on our free Apex blog, which you should definitely check out. He specializes in prospect evaluation. He is also the unofficial president, entire Congress, and Prime Minister of the AJ Brown fan club, as you guys will soon discover. He specializes in dynasty leagues. We're very lucky to have him. Dalton, thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. You know, if there's one thing I just want to remember by my entire life, it's that I was the president of the AJ Brown fan club. So thank you for that.
You know, as a Titans fan, I'm not going to complain at all. What we want this podcast to be about, we know there are many fantasy football podcasts out there with analysis, talking about overvalued, undervalued players. Our goal is to be an analytics-based, actionable, and succinct part of your fantasy football toolbox. Nearly all of our takes will be quantitative and analytics-based advice. And we come from, again, the unique perspective of people who run thousands of fantasy leagues, commission thousands of fantasy, we've seen thousands of trades. We write awesome free content on our blog with the same outlook, which I will link to in the show notes page. I really recommend you check it out. It's stuff that you don't want to miss. It's entirely free. Let's get started in talking about our main and going over our main segment. We're going to be talking about one guy. Each of us are talking about one guy that we like at their current average draft positions or ADPs. A big tenet of the show, by the way, that you're going to hear us not only mention explicitly, but implicitly as well, is that we don't hate players. We hate ADPs, right? You'll see people say, oh, I'll never draft a player they dislike, or I'll never take this guy again. He got injured for me. We don't have that philosophy, right? As with any marketplace, price is a key tenet in evaluating an asset. And fantasy leagues are absolutely marketplaces. So let's dive right in with Mike's undervalued player. Mike, you've got the floor.
Okay, I'm going to start with a few general lessons for fantasy football players. When evaluating college players prior to the NFL draft, there are two very important attributes that we look for. First is dominator rating. Dominator rating is the percentage of a wide receiver's total team's receiving yards and touchdowns. Why do we care about the percentage? All college offenses are different. Some don't throw very frequently, some throw a lot. So comparing stats isn't very apples to apples. This gives gives us an idea of what percentage of a team's college offense a certain player had. The other metric that we really care about is breakout age. Breakout age represents when a receiver first achieves a 20% dominator rating. It kind of gives us a way to compare players by age-adjusted production. Both of these metrics correlate with NFL success. Now that I've explained both of the metrics, my undervalued player is DJ Moore. With the way that we evaluate fantasy football players, very few check every box. DJ Moore is one of those players. As an 18-year-old true freshman, Moore broke out. This is important because he's competing against older players as an 18-year-old true freshman. Most of these guys are 20 or 21 years old. So if he's performing well against them, it says a lot about his talent. He finished with a 98th percentile breakout age. Very few had the production of Moore at such a young age. In his junior season at Maryland, Moore had a 97th percentile dominator rating. He actually had more receiving yards and receiving touchdowns than the rest of his team put together. At the combine, we found that Moore is also an excellent athlete. He weighs a solid 210 pounds, runs an 89th percentile 40 time. His burst score, which is a combination of your broad jump and your vertical jump into one metric, is 94th percentile, and he also has solid agility. So he combines weight, speed, agility, and jumping ability. In the NFL draft, the Panthers confirmed what we already knew by selecting Moore in the first round. It's significant still because draft position has the highest correlation with success in the NFL. As a 21-year-old rookie, Moore showed that he's ready for the NFL. He topped 700 receiving yards and averaged an extraordinary 9.6 yards per target. He even rushed for 172 yards on just 13 carries. The guy showed that he has an ability to make players miss and that with the ball in his hands, he's really a special NFL player. Last year, in his second year, Moore had 133 targets, 86 receptions, and 1,174 yards in 14 games before suffering a concussion in his 15th game. He was on pace to catch 98 balls as a 22-year-old, and he's still only going in the third round of fantasy drafts. In fact, Moore had the ninth most receiving yards ever before turning 23 years old. The list begins with Randy Moss, Josh Gordon, Juju, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Larry Fitzgerald, Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, then Moore slides in, followed by Allen Robinson, Hakeem Nicks, and Keenan Allen. Any way that you look at it, Moore is a special player in exclusive company. He is probably the cheapest right now that he'll be in the next 7 to 8 years.
I mean, DJ, we are all fans of DJ Moore on the show. Dalton, anything to add on our boy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Mikey put an interesting thing into his profile and what it does. But we also, like, looking into this year, we have to be really excited about what can potentially happen to this Panthers offense. They get a new coach in, Matt Rhule from Baylor. And they also get Joe Brady, who's going to be coordinating their offense, who is coordinating LSU's historic passing offense there. So we know that DJ Moore is the best wide receiver on the team. And outside of Christian McCaffrey, those are going to be the main two targets for them. And they're going to find creative ways to get them the ball. And we saw guys like Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson absolutely just put up monster numbers for LSU. So adding that into the context of what DJ Moore has already done in the NFL, and we know that it's very likely he's one of the best receivers for the next 4 to 5 years in the NFL, he is an absolute smash at his current average draft position.
And some thoughts on his projection for this year, right? He produced at a historic rate with Kyle Allen at the helm. It didn't take long for Kyle Allen to get exposed. Now he has Teddy Bridgewater, who may not be, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Breeze, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, but he knows where his bread is buttered, right? Last year, Teddy Bridgewater averaged 21 attempts per game when he started for Drew Brees. 11 of those attempts were directed at Michael Thomas. Now, there was some thought last year about Curtis Samuel being the 1B to DJ Moore's 1A in terms of wide receivers. That narrative was quashed quickly. I mean, Curtis Samuel is now an afterthought, and he's going to compete with Christian. Moore's going to compete with Christian McCaffrey when it comes to targets. But I think there's a really clear path, DJ Moore being a guy who's going to finish in the top five in targets this year. I think it's actually more likely than not that that happens. Dalton, your undervalued player.
Yeah, my undervalued player is going to be Hunter Henry. He is someone that I think a lot of people are a little bit concerned about with the quarterback transition, but I think there's a lot of things that we can use to quell some of our doubts when it comes to this quarterback transition. So if we use an efficiency metric, average yards adjusted per attempt, which is a good efficiency metric for quarterbacks, in which accounts for how they do with yards and then touchdowns as well as interceptions. So essentially one of the more efficient quarterback metrics out there. If we look at what Philip Rivers did last year, he had 7.1 adjusted yards per attempt, which was his lowest in the past 10 years of his career. Now, if we look at the league average for what they did last year, that was 7.1. So he's essentially on average with what the average NFL quarterback did last year. And if we look at who their quarterback's going to be this year, well, reports out of Chargers camp currently is the fact that Tyrod Taylor is the strong favorite to be starting for them week one. If we look at Tyrod Taylor's career adjusted yards per attempt, it's 7.2, which is right on par with what Philip Rivers is last year. So to expect a sudden decline in production for this offense as a whole, I find that a little bit unlikely for them to downgrade as much as we're seeing with the drop in average draft position that we've seen a lot of these Chargers players. Now, if we look at what happened with Hunter Henry last year and where he was getting drafted, he was going right around the 5-6 turn. So roughly at the end of the fifth round and the early sixth round. Now, if we look at Apex Fantasy League's average draft position over the last month, he is currently going in the back end of the ninth round. Now, I expect that to jump up at some point as we get closer to the season and more people start drafting and getting into this. But at the end of the day, he is way, way undervalued for a guy who offers a very similar profile as he did before. And we can also argue that he had his best season last year. So he's coming off his best season as a pro, and yet he's 3 to 4 rounds cheaper as he was last year because of a concern about potential quarterback change there. I am going to buy the talent of a player. And if we look at what Hunter Henry has done in his short career, it's been nothing but phenomenal. It puts him on a career arc that would put him in the elite tight ends within the next couple of years. If we look at some of the players that have done what he's done as a rookie, we're talking about someone who's had 50 targets in over 8 yards per target as a rookie. Again, it's a very strong cohort in which every single one of those other 8 players that did the same thing as him, every one of them had at least one top 6 finish at the tight end position. And 8 out of those players had multiple top 6 finishes. So we're talking about the elite of the elite, which Hunter Henry has put himself in. He's one of 3 players to have over 8 yards per target on over 50 targets in his first 3 full seasons in the NFL. Those other guys were none other than Rob Gronkowski and George Kittle, who we can argue Rob Gronkowski is the greatest tight end of all time, and George Kittle is putting himself on a career arc similar to Rob Gronkowski to potentially be one of the best tight ends of all time. So there's no doubt that Hunter Henry's put himself in extremely, extremely strong company there, and we want to be buying this kind of player. If we look at what Philip Rivers has done throughout his career, and we look at all of the targets he's had targets such as Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson, and Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry has been the most efficient target that Philip Rivers has had over his entire career. And also, if we look at what Hunter Henry did last year, we touched on his best season of his career. But the thing is, we didn't get to see a full sample from him because he missed the 4 games last year. If we look at his splits and we look at his per-game averages, he would have averaged over 200 PPR points for the full entire season, which would have put him top 3 in terms of tight ends. That's the average tight end 3 finish since 2000. So we're talking about a guy who had a very good season last year in the time that he played, and he checks all the boxes from a guy who's ascending. He's going to be playing his season at age 25, starting the season off at age 25, and Mike has done some great work on peak seasons for tight ends, and what he has shown us is that when tight ends hit 25, we see a massive jump in terms of production, and that's when they hit their quote-unquote peak season, a peak season being when they break out at the tight end position. So Mike's done some great work on that. And the age 25 season is actually the highest number in terms of any age group of any tight ends throughout their career. So he's entering a lot of things that would point towards him having a breakout this year at the tight end position.
We have done some good studies on Apex, and I'll link this in the show notes about tight end peak ages, along with every other position we've researched. Mike, any thoughts about Hunter Henry before we move on?
Oh, yeah. I think that it's a great idea to target players who check all the boxes. Hunter Henry broke out early in college as a true freshman, dominated in college, high draft pick. Upon entering the NFL, he caught 8 touchdowns as a 22-year-old rookie, almost hit 500 receiving yards in 15 games, averaged 9 yards per target. For his career, he's averaging 8.9 yards per target. So we can make opportunity-based arguments that he is going to decline based on quarterback change, but every measure that we have indicates that Hunter Henry is a special player. And I will take the discount on a guy who's clearly a special player when it's difficult to quantify the downgrade of Phillip Rivers to Tyrod Taylor. So he is definitely a guy that could possibly see more targets this year, and is a very, very special player.
Yeah, we are all fans of Hunter Henry here on the Apex Fantasy Football Podcast. My undervalued player is Chris Carson. I wrote about him on our Apex Insider blog, which again, I will link to in the show notes page. I don't understand his average draft position. I don't understand his ADP. This is a guy who we know is going to be a workhorse, right? He had major fumbling issues last year, but he went one game before he got hurt in week 16, one game where he had less than 16 touches. They committed to him in a way that I've never seen coach commit to a running back amidst fumbling issues. Going into last year, we thought that he really might be splitting with Rashad Penny, who came on a lot at the end of 2018. That was not the case at all. Now, Rashad Penny was pretty good last year, but he was clearly playing second fiddle to Chris Carson. Chris Carson last year finished third in rushing success rate, courtesy of Sharp Football Stats, among running backs at least 150 carries, behind only Mark Ingram and Ezekiel Elliott. The Seahawks, are due for positive touchdown regression when it comes to rushing touchdowns this year. Last year, they finished third in the NFL in total rushing attempts, but only 16th in rushing touchdowns. This, despite the fact they ran at the 11th highest clip and led the NFL in rushing success rate inside their opponent's 40-yard line. Rashad Penny, reports are, even from Pete Carroll, ever the optimist when it comes to his players' injuries, it doesn't look like Rashad Penny is going to be ready. He might start on the PUP. They signed Carlos Hyde, who himself has admitted he is going to be more of the Rashad Penny replacement rather than a Chris Carson competitor. And even when Rashad Penny played last year, he averaged actually more. Carson averaged more fantasy points when Penny was in the lineup. And I just don't see how he's being drafted behind guys like Le'Veon Bell, right, who has so, in my opinion, little upside and who has, unfortunately, to be coached by Adam Gase. And he is currently going as the second to last pick in the fourth round. He is a really great target if you have maybe the 6th, 7th overall pick. You miss out on the top 4 or 5 running backs and you start with Michael Thomas, maybe come back with Tyreek Hill or Chris Godwin, and then are lucky enough to have our favorite guy, DJ Moore, fall in the third round. If you're not comfortable taking that fourth wide receiver, Chris Carson is a great target in the middle end of the fourth round. He might even fall due to the 5th. In fact, of running backs going around him, he had the most running back 1 week, 6 out of 15 that he played. 40% of the time, he was a top 12 running back on a week-to-week basis in 2019. And he is entering his age 26 season as Mike has shown in one of his excellent peak age articles, that is still in the range of a peak season for a running back. So I think Chris Carson is a great target for teams who miss out on one of those top running backs. Because honestly, I think you can make an argument for him being close to a guy like Joe Mixon, who goes 2 rounds earlier. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that huge of a difference. And I think he can be a real, even in PPR leagues, he had 47 targets last year, who was 24th amongst running back. You know, he's not Christian McCaffrey, but I think he can be a guy who I just don't understand his ADP and why it's so late compared to other guys who are almost a round or two earlier than him. Mike, any thoughts on Mr. Carson?
Yeah, I usually don't take running backs in that range, but I do agree with the argument. I think he's undervalued. You can compare him as kind of an arbitrage play to a guy like Nick Chubb. I'm not going to argue that he's more talented than Chubb, but he doesn't have Kareem Hunt nipping at his heels. He probably has more receiving upside, and he's on a better offense, so he probably has more touchdown upside. If the Seahawks decide to go a little bit more pass heavy this season, I'm not sure that it hurts him, as it provides him more opportunity to gain targets and potentially more touchdown upside. So he's really a nice pick if you miss out on the top workhorse running backs, and one could argue that he may be the last workhorse running back available.
Dalton, any thoughts on Chris Carson?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, is understanding that he has that workhorse role kind of ingrained into what they're trying to do in that offense. If there was any year for him to lose that workhorse role, it would have been last year when Rashad Penny went into his second year. But now that Rashad Penny is heading under the PUP, it looks very unlikely that a guy like Carlos Hyde or DJ Dallas is really going to be able to usurp him this year. The fact that he fumbled, I think it was 7 times. He had an 8-game stretch where he fumbled 7 times. And the fact that they still continue to give him the rock, I think it's important to understand that they really view him as their workhorse. And there's really very little anything outside of an injury that would keep him from getting that workhorse. And like you mentioned, it's one of the better offenses in the league. It actually has the potential to become one of the best in the league if they start to, you know, if DK Metcalf has his breakout like we expect he possibly could have. And we know that Tyler Lockett's one of the more underrated receivers. So there's a lot of good pieces there. And Russell Wilson, obviously one of the best in the game. So it's a great offense to be in. Positive touchdown regression could be coming for him, but also there could be more touchdown opportunities because of just how good this offense could be.
Yeah, and the Seahawks were 7th in total touchdowns last year, and 5th in terms of percentage of the time they ran the ball in a neutral game script. So I think Chris Carson is a guy who you want to target at his ADP. If you're not totally into going all zero running back, you want to get that second running back out of the way early. So all in all, guys, draft DJ Moore at his ADP, draft Chris Carson at his ADP, and draft Hunter Henry at his ADP. Before we get to a segment that we're all really excited about, which we call Heads or Tails, I just want to remind you guys that if you're excited to draft a fantasy league for money, we here at Apex are your one-stop shop for season-long fantasy leagues. Whether it's Dynasty, Redraft, Live Drafts, or Email Drafts, where you have 8 hours to pick, Auction League, Superflex Leagues, any combination of those, we have got them. Leagues are filling every day now, so reserve your spot. Price points are as low as $75. We have leagues as high as a $1,000 entry where the winner gets almost $8,000. Not a bad payday. To sign up, go to apexfantasyleagues.com or contact any of us. Now, we're going to do our first Heads or Tails segment. We'll do this probably almost every episode. I'm going to use my handy dandy iPhone to flip a virtual coin, and Mike or Dalton will call heads or tails. If this episode, Mike will be the one guessing. If the person guessing gets it correct, he will make his best argument for drafting a player of my choosing. And Dalton or the person or if they guess incorrect, will argue against drafting this player. So they don't know, Mike or Dalton, whether they're going to argue for or against this player until right now. So today's player is Odell Beckham. That is who is going to be on the hot seat on Heads or Tails. Mike, what is your call?
Heads.
All right. Let's see what we got here. It is tails. That means Mike is going to argue against Odell Beckham and Dalton's going to argue for. So why don't we start with Dalton, since he's arguing from the pro side of Odell Beckham. Dalton, why is Odell Beckham a player you want to target at his average draft position, and why is he possibly undervalued this year? You got the floor.
I'm actually really excited about this because Mike and I actually had some discussions on it. I think that this is going to be really interesting to hear different sides, because Mike makes some great arguments for why he may be a little bit overvalued. And I think that Odell Beckham is undervalued. So I think one thing with Odell Beckham is understanding how special of a player he is. If we look at Odell Beckham's per game averages all the way up until his first 6 seasons in the league, he is up there with guys like Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss. We're talking about the all-time greats at wide receiver. We also know that players in their first year with new teams typically see a 10% decrease in production. And we saw that technically last year with Odell Beckham. So heading into his second year with, you know, another year under his belt with Baker Mayfield, we could see and we should see a bump in production. Now, Odell Beckham is getting slighted for having a bad season, but he really wasn't that bad. He had over 1,000 yards, 74 receptions, and he just had a lower touchdown total than what he normally did. So he still got 133 targets, and we also know that Jarvis Landry is working through a shoulder injury right now. It looks like he could be ready for week one, but there's still some uncertainty up there in the air, and we don't know how that potentially could affect Jarvis Landry. It probably won't affect him much because he played last year, but there's still that possibility that there is some sort of lingering thing with Jarvis Landry there. So we're banking on the fact that Odell Beckham is such a talented player, and he goes back to what he did when he was with the Giants, where he was a top five receiver for three straight years before injuries hit and then obviously getting traded to the Browns. So we also know Baker Mayfield is a first overall pick who had one of the better profiles coming out of college that we have seen in a while. We're talking about a guy who was beyond efficient and at the time was the most efficient college quarterback in NFL history. The Browns thought he was worthy of a number one overall pick. And then in his rookie year, he also broke the touchdown record for quarterbacks despite not playing a full season game. So we know Baker Mayfield did not have the greatest year last year, but it's also possible that we have such a big sample size of Baker Mayfield being great that it's totally possible that Baker Mayfield actually just takes a step back, takes a step forward this year from where he did last year. And not only will that help out Odell Beckham, but it'll help out this whole offense. And I think that things could really push Odell Beckham back into the category of where we had him when he was with the Giants.
Yeah, and you know, I think one problem with Odell last year was not only he played through a lot of injuries, but our expectations of him. I mean, he was maybe the most exciting fantasy football player to own during the first few years of his career. And last year, besides for that week against the Jets, after Greg Williams kind of called him out as just a guy. Other than that, he really didn't have any Odell Beckham moments. And but I mean, we have seen what he can do, so he might be a steal. But Mike, tell me why you're not so why you're not so bullish on Mr. Beckham.
I'll start by saying I think that Odell Beckham is an incredible player. What I think will possibly hold him back this year is his offensive system. Kevin Stefanski was the offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year, and they were among the most run-heavy offenses in the entire league. They had a similar offensive system to what the Browns are entering with this year. We can compare Dalvin Cook and Chubb, and then the two wide receivers, Adam Thielen and Diggs, with Odell and Landry. Even with Adam Thielen missing a lot of time, Diggs in 15 games had just 94 targets. Wow. And this wasn't due to a lack of production. Diggs averaged 12 yards per target, which anybody who knows yards per target knows that that's just an incredible number. So you have this hyper-efficient wide receiver who's dominating, and you're still not changing your offense to cater to him. So I don't think that Stefanski will go to a comparable offense in Cleveland and run a completely different system. I do think that this game will be built off the play action, and it will run Chubb very hard, and Odell will have a lot of valuable targets off the play action. But if we can only expect 110 targets for him, and that's even above Diggs after averaging 12 yards per target, can we really expect that high level wide receiver one season that we really want from Odell? So I'm concerned that his offensive system will hold him back. I don't think there's any questions on talent. But that is a big concern entering his second year on the Browns. I will also add that there are a lot of good wide receivers being drafted around him that may not have that same concern. You can draft a Juju who seems to have, if Big Ben is healthy, about 125, 130 target floor. There's AJ Brown who's entering year two and could get a lot better. So I guess the argument against Odell would be opportunity cost and his offensive system being a relatively big concern this year.
And, you know, we don't know who is Baker Mayfield, right? We don't know if he's actually good. It's kind of too early to tell. Could he be the next Sam Bradford, right? We're just waiting for him to break out. And meanwhile, his wide receivers are producing below where they were taken in drafts. And I'm very excited to see what the Browns do this year and how Odell Beckham performs. I do think you make a great point in terms of – you know, Kevin Stefanski had maybe going into last year, we didn't really know how good Chris Godwin was, but you can make an argument the Vikings had the best 1-2 punch of wide receiver in the NFL. And then you give Stephon Diggs 96 targets. That to me, with Thielen injured, that to me blows my mind. So I love these debates. I think everyone gets smarter from talking about the pros and cons of the player rather than just being an echo chamber. And I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we do. We will continue to do stuff like this here on the Apex Fantasy Football Podcast. That is all the content we have for today. Thank you for sticking with us through this harrowing adventure of a first podcast. We would really love for you to connect with us, whether email would be apexfantasyfootballleagues@gmail.com, on Twitter, on Facebook, and let us know who you think won heads or tails. Let us know if you think our undervalued players are actually not so undervalued, or if you would prefer someone else, or if you think someone else would be a better candidate. Questions you may have for us, things you want us to discuss, we would love to hear your opinions. In the pipeline, we have some really exciting podcasts coming up. Be sure to look out for some awesome free content that we work very hard to bring you. Again, it is free on the Apex blog available on our website. We would really, really appreciate it if you would subscribe and or review our podcast. It would mean the world to us. Check us out on YouTube as well if you'd prefer a video medium. Interaction or subscription there would be icing on the cake. Thank you for honoring us with your time and attention. Thank you for listening to the Apex Fantasy Football Podcast.